the 12th chapter, wait a minute, where am I? 12th chapter of 1 Samuel. And it's just kind of interesting that we're at this, to me it's interesting that we're at this chapter right after the week we just had. This is, and it's really, this chapter is really a transition chapter from when God was working in the time of the judges. Samuel was really, is kind of a unique person. He's a judge, he's a priest, and kind of, the judge was the leader in those days. And this is when Samuel basically is resigning and turning the power of over Israel over to Saul. So they're moving from the period of the judges to the monarchy, to the time when Israel asked for a king, God gave them a king. And in this chapter, Samuel is resigning as a judge, and during that, he reminds Israel to do three things: fear God, serve Him, and listen to Him. Okay, and I'm not going to be able to read all of it, but every time I say that, I end up reading it, so maybe we will. It's really broken down into several sections. Verses 1 through 5, Samuel kind of talks about himself and says, I've been a righteous leader. 6 through 12, he gives some history of Israel and has them remember what God has done for them. And then in 13 through 18, he talks about the king and what Israel should be doing now. And then in the end, he says, the people pray, and he just, I want, the last several from like 14 through 25 are just, if we need any verses right now, these would be it. So let me read verses 1 through 5. And I might have to read all of it because it is cool. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 12. Then Samuel said to all Israel, behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you have said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you. But I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my youth, even to this day. Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you. Man hasn't changed much, have they? And they said, well, you have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand. And he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand. And they said, he is our witness. So as he resigns, he says, you know, the contrast was, I pass it down to my sons who are corrupt and defrauding people. And if you read remember what Samuel said, what would happen when you have a king, he's going to take your sons, and he's going to take your money, and he's going to take your land. And Samuel says, I did none of that. I have walked righteously before you. And he was a little boy when he started. Since I was a youth, I have walked before you and have taken nothing from you. So Samuel basically says, Samuel says, I have been a godly and righteous leader. And the people say, you're right. You have. You are what we needed at that time. And you have done nothing and defrauded none of us. Then he goes on, and he starts in verses 6 through 12, he looks at the history of Israel and this whole up and down of the nation of Israel. It says, starting in verse 6, then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now, take your stand that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and your fathers. So he says, remember what God has done. Verse 8, when Jacob went up into Egypt, your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. Verse 9, but they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Baals and the Ashtaroths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we shall serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan. They think that's a barrack. They think there's some textual error in there because nobody knows who Bedan is. And Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around so that you lived in security. And when you saw Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, and they came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, though the Lord your God was your king. So he kind of recites their history. He said, you guys know what happened. The minute things, you turned your back on God and you cried out to him, and he saved you again and again and again. Every time you were faithless and you cried out to our God, he was faithful. And then in verses 13 through 18, basically Samuel says, here's your king. And what's interesting is, it's like he presents the king, and then he says, now fear God, serve him, listen to him. He didn't say, here's Saul, obey him, listen to him. And look what he says. Now therefore, here's the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. God's in this thing. You know, I mean, this is kind of an aside, and I don't want to, you got to be careful applying 1 Samuel to what just happened, but we chose a king. We just call him something different, but who really chose him? For some reason, we have who we have. For some reason. And then this was Samuel's advice to the nation of Israel. You have your king. Verse 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. You know, do we throw up our hands? So Samuel says, listen to our God and serve him and fear him. And if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Look at your history. Just look back, Israel, and think about it. The minute you forgot to fear and obey God, things went bad. It's like Samuel saying, duh. Listen to who and fear our God. I don't have to fear what's going to happen tomorrow. And I got to tell you, whatever night that was, when was the election? Tuesday. I mean, was it this week? Yeah. I'm like, I turned the TV off. I said, I can't watch it. I can't. I was getting too freaked out. I was starting to worry and fear. And then I'm studying and I'm like, okay. You know, Fox News, I'm going to name guys I listen to, Hannity, Levin, all the sky is falling, the sky is falling. What does God say? I don't have to fear who is the president. I'm not trusting him. I'm not trusting Congress. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice, it's a lot nicer voice, isn't it? Why do we forget? just like Israel. I mean, that's why when I was talking to this friend of mine this weekend, and he has no spiritual background. Don't put this one on the internet. I mean, and he needs to listen to who God is. He wanted to talk about everything. He talked so much about our eternity days, and I was like, okay, Lord, you got to get him to shut up, just so I can one time throw something in there, you know, because I was feeling guilty. I'm like a pastor, and I should talk to him. Monday morning, 7 in the morning, we got up, had a coffee, and somehow God let me talk to him. It's and there's just, you know, now he didn't get on his knees, but there was an open door. You know, there was an open door. It's like Bible. I mean, who would think somebody would get saved reading the Bible and just all by himself in a motel? And the idea is, if I just listen, if you will fear the Lord and serve him, and if you don't, it's going to get bad. Think about it. Think how good God is and how good he has been to you, Israel. Just listen. Verse 16, he says, "And even now, take your stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." And so he's going to do something here. He says, "Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel goes, okay, if you still have a question, I'm going to pray for rain. Now, this is apparently a time when no rain happened. It was the harvest time. You don't want rain to happen in the harvest because you can't get the crops out. So it was a time when there would be no rain, and he goes, okay, just to show you that this was not a good idea, asking for a king, I'm going to call for rain, and it's going to rain. And that's what happened. So Samuel called, verse 18, so Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. I mean, that would be, you know, and sometimes I get jealous. I'm like, you know, I wish things were that obvious sometimes. But you know what? I think sometimes I just ain't looking. God does do stuff every day. He does make himself apparent to me and you. And then what's really interesting, and one of my favorite old programs was Red Green Show. Anybody watch it? It's out of Canada. And he has a counseling thing, and when he gets into his shop and he's sitting there and he says, "Now I'm talking to all you guys over 40. And he says, "Remember this, nothing good ever comes after, watch this," right? I love that, because we're playing handball, we do that, I'll watch this and then I lose. But that's what Samuel said. Watch this. You still wondering? Watch what God will do. And so it had the exact effect that Samuel wanted. Then the people feared the Lord. And then look at 19 through 20. And listen to these verses. Then all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves for a king." The light went on. You know, just like for all of us, sooner or later the light had to go on. That before God, I'm toast. My sin has separated me from him. And then verse 20. This is amazing. Listen to this. And Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." What did Yogi Berra say? It ain't over till it ain't over. They had to realize this was a mistake, this was a sin. But Samuel says, don't be afraid, because God is still faithful. Even though this is bad, God is going to, think about this. God took their choice of a king, and God, this is, even used their sinful choice. Because who's the eventual king? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when I, when you're, these guys that pick up Bibles that are in there, or that are at the end of the rope and think, God can't accept me now with all that I've done. Not according to what Samuel said. Not according to the history of Israel. Not according to what happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. So Samuel says, you guys, God's not done. It was a mistake. God can even use that. Listen, in verse 21, this is, I wrote here, God can deal with your sin. Just keep following him. Don't go after futile things. That's what he says in verse 21. You must not turn aside. Don't think it's over. Don't turn aside. Then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. Don't. It's not over. What happened this week? We might not agree with it. We might not like it. We might not. It's not over. Don't go after futile things. You hear people trying to figure out why and what and what's going to happen. And I think that's kind of going after futile things. Is God still in control, even after Tuesday? I mean, really? Really? We ought to be really thinking about those guys up there in Washington and say, God, teach them to fear you. And it ought to start with me. I mean, I think it ought to start with us. It ought to start with me, When I talk to people, I can't get, so bad. And it. Did you look at Facebook on Diane's quote this morning on Robinson Crusoe? Did you guys see it? Well, yeah, I won't tell you about it. We still live in the best place in the world. Don't go after futile things. Then verse 22. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. After all that they had just done, after all that they had, no, we need a king. God's not our king. We need one. Samuel says, for the Lord will not abandon his people. On account of what? Because you're so good. You've done so well. You have such a big church. You're so righteous. Because of his great name. In the men's Bible study, last week, Steve wasn't here, and I was supposed to do Genesis, the 21st chapter. It's about the birth of Isaac, a lot of great things in there. And we got to one verse. We got through one verse. We read it all. But listen to this, write this verse down. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord took note, in the NIV it says, and the Lord looked graciously on Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. When people I saw something on YouTube that this professor in some school said that the whole Bible's a myth, and you shouldn't believe it, and you shouldn't even graduate from this university if you believe the Bible. And if this sounds like a myth, who would write a myth that says God accepts us because of His great name? If a man was writing this, if you know, we would go, well, because God accepted Israel because we're pretty good. God looked at Sarah because she was pretty and nice. He took note of Sarah because He had promised He would. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him. Repetition. Serve Him in truth and with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. I think that's what Sunday is kind of for. Just the stuff of the week and the craziness of business and the worry and the... And then you get a call on Friday that it's a friend's daughter dies. We need a time where we just stop and say, consider what great things He has done for you. But if you still do wickedness, both you and your king shall be swept away. Listen, fear God. Serve Him, and just listen. That's what Samuel said. I mean, these things are really talking to me more than anybody else, I think, when I read this stuff. I need to stop. This is kind of another commercial side. You know, when you're in your own business, it's like all of a sudden I was looking ahead and I'm like, man, there's no jobs coming in. You know, and this is getting worrisome. And if, like, God goes, you know. Have I provided for you in the past? Well, you know, did I take care of you in the past? Am I doing it because you're so good? Because of my great name. We could probably stop the rest of the book of Samuel and just spend the whole time in this one chapter. So that's what, fear God. Serve Him and listen to Him. I'm going to do it. I told Diane, I said, I'm not listening to radio anymore. Well, I didn't listen to myself. We just remember who He is, that He kept His promise about His Son coming, dying on the cross for us because of His great name. When He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. One more little commercial. I did a proposal this last week, and they sent out it's called an RFP. Everything in the business world are in acronyms, and it's like I have no idea what they're talking about at the time. RFP means request for proposal. And it was 230 pages, and I had a week to do a proposal. Well, it would take me a week to read 230 pages, really. I mean, I'm not a speed reader. But it's called an IPD. Does anybody know what that is? Integrated Project Delivery. And and there was a whole, like, 5 pages on keeping your promise. 5 pages in a business thing that says, when you make a promise, you got to fulfill your promise. And I was reading this, and I'm like, and it was, we were doing Genesis, and when I read that, I'm like, the world's going nuts. Why can't, I mean, do they have to tell people? Keep your promise? And I think I ought to keep my promise because God keeps his promise. Because there are some times that I fail to do that. That's pretty good. Father, as we come today to your table and take communion and think about that night with your disciples, confused, troubled, fearful, as he laid out to them about you, your son giving his blood and his body. Father, help remind us every single day when we begin to fear things we shouldn't fear, when we serve things we shouldn't serve, when we strive after futile things. Pull us back. Remind us again and again that you love us because of your great name. You're a God who keeps his promise to us that one day we're going to stand before you adopted, welcomed into heaven, to be with you forever. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.